What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode, what is the episode actually? 478. I was on the wrong tab. Episode 478. And of course, right across from me is my good co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I just realized this when I was looking at the small thumbnails. You almost look like you have like a Charlie Brown hoodie or something. You know, he's got like the yellow shirt with the zigzags, but yeah, it's not Charlie Brown.
This is a surfer. Jamie O'Brien's surfer thing. Gotcha. But I have
computers.
I think I lost that. What? I don't know where I was like, I'm actually kind of cold, you know, and even though it's in San Diego. So I was like, I'm going to put on a hoodie. And I was looking for that exact hoodie and I couldn't find it. I don't know if I misplaced it.
I need it. And it's a little warmer today, but this room down here stays pretty cold. It's a little chilly. But
I remember those days, like, when I lived back east, and then in the wintertime, like, that basement was cold. Very, yep. Very cold.
It's usually like 65 down here, which in the wintertime, I mean, it doesn't sound cold, but then when it's also cold outside and then the cold gets into the concrete behind the walls and in the floor, and you can like feel the cold just like sucking the life out of you.
Not a fan of that at all. No. But this week's podcast is brought to you by Asus and their brand new Falchion Ace 75HE gaming keyboard. I actually got to see this at CES, and I actually just got it into review as well. So super excited. I haven't opened it yet, but when I did get to check it out at CES, it's a 75% keyboard. It is Hall Effect. But the cool thing about it is it's actually, most Hall Effect keyboards are not hot swappable. This one actually is hot swappable. It even comes with a carrying case, which I love. has the dedicated rapid trigger switch. Like, there's a bunch of stuff with this, but really excited to test this. But if you guys want to check it out, they have the full product page up and everything. I'm super excited to test it. But if you're looking for super fast, 8,000 hertz pulling rates, all that kind of stuff with a gaming keyboard, this is definitely going to be it. So definitely stay tuned for our review. But if you want to check it out, they do have the full product page up. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Also, guys, of course, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. We're going to jump into a really cool product that actually saved me hours of time. If you're an iPhone user, you're definitely going to appreciate that. If we're going to see GPUs just get, we're not going to see a whole lot of them. We're going to see that. We're going to see, talk about DDR4 and the price increase of DDR4, DDR5, and if we're sort of leveling off when it comes to pricing. A really, really cool story about somebody that picked up a graphics card for $5 at a thrift store, which is awesome. Really cool thing that Ryan and I saw, I don't know if it was 2 years ago at CES or maybe 3 years ago, that they're finally expanding, which I think is going to be really, really cool. And some other stuff. We got some GTA 6 news and some other things in there as well. But everything is right here on our show notes page, so you can follow along with us as we go along here. So first, we're going to talk about that iPhone product. So I'm a PC guy, but I have an iPhone, and I've had an iPhone for a very long time. And honestly, I think it was easier years ago to like back up your iPhone to a PC or to pull things off. But now it is so hard. So if you just directly connect, you know, like the new iPhones, they have the Type-C there.
Yeah.
You know, you would think it's so easy. It's so easy to do this. If you plug that into your PC, it detects the iPhone and it brings up your photos and your storage. But then if you like go to move a lot of storage, it just fails. It just doesn't work. It has issues with Windows. So, you know, everybody's like, oh, I'll just get one of these. I'll get one of these guys, right? I'll get a portable SSD. I can plug that directly in and I can pull stuff off. You can do that. But it also has that same problem. It's the same problem.
Oh, really?
And you can't like track kind of what you're taking off, and it's like the folder.
It just
like,
does all or nothing. Yeah.
The folder system's really bad. Like, it's just not good. So our friends over at Patriot wanted to make this whole process easier for you. So they came out with this little thing. This is called the iLux Cube. And essentially, it's a little cube It's a little SSD and it works with an app, and essentially it allows you to back everything up. So as you can see, it's really, really small, not that big at all. And what you would do is you plug this into your power brick or however you're powering your phone. And then you plug your phone into the end here, which is a Type-C. And basically you get an app, and the app, I would suggest setting it to automatically open whenever you plug it in, but it's just going to back everything up. It's just going to back all your photos up, all your videos up, everything. It does it sequentially. And once you do one big backup, like I have a 1 terabyte iPhone, so when I was doing my backup, it took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do your backup, then the next sequential time you plug it in, it's just only going to back up the new files. You don't have to do it again, which is really, really nice. It puts it all, you know, on this drive. You can kind of see how I have it plugged in there. And then, you know, I have it plugged into my phone. It uses this Storage Plus app, which is super easy. Again, it automatically opens when you're doing it, and it's just going to back everything up. Now, if you're somebody who just only wants to back up select files, you can use this partial backup right here, and you can select what actually gets backed up. You can use it like the camera and take photos directly to this little drive. You can do all that stuff. But the biggest thing for me is that it actually works. And when I go over the years, when I try to back up my phone, it's like I have to, in order for it to work, if I directly connect it to my PC or even connect it to an SSD, I have to select like 100 photos at a time and then let them go and then make sure it does it. And then if sometimes it may fail, and then I have to figure out, okay, where did it stop so I don't lose my photos? Like it's incredibly annoying. This, you just let it go and it does its thing. You know what I mean? And even if for some reason you unplug or something like that, the app knows where it left off. So when you plug it back in, it's just going to continue where you left off. Another thing I really like about it too is that it works with multiple devices. So if you have a family that has different devices, when you actually open this, like you can just plug this drive into your PC now, and like you can see I have my iPad and my iPhone. So for each device, it's going to make its own folder tree within there. So again, people's things are organized. It's not just one big mess. but again, the biggest thing for me is that like it just works and it's easy. And again, if you're somebody who just plugs their phone into the same place every night, you just have this sort of just live on the charger.
Yeah.
And you're essentially good to go, right? There's just, yeah, it's
oh, it'll do pass-through charging. It's not like you have to have the power isn't just powering the drive.
Yeah. So it does pass-through charging up to 30 watts. Okay. So pretty simple. Like I said, it's a very simple device that just, again, if you're a PC user and you have an iPhone, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just not easy. And again, this is going to, you know, instead of buying iCloud Plus, that's what they're calling it now, that will back up your stuff and then essentially remove it from your phone, and then you can access it through iCloud. Like you pay a monthly fee for that. So instead of paying the monthly fee, you just buy this drive and multiple people in your family can use it. And you can easily grab those files and put them on your computer or whatever and then back them up further to something like a NAS, whereas like, I don't even know how hard it would be to download your photos off iCloud Plus and then have to put them on. Like, you know what I mean? It just, for me, it just makes it a lot easier. So I really like this. You can get it, I think, in like 128 gigs all the way up to 1 terabyte. I had the 1 terabyte version. And the 1 terabyte version is $139.99. Obviously, prices will go down from there. These were completely sold out on Amazon. I don't know. This link is to the 512, actually. Still sold out on Amazon right now. But they did say that they're on eBay. They have like an eBay store where you can get them.
Interesting.
But yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like, it just makes life easier if you're an iPhone user and you want to pull all of your things off and then organize them, you know, organize your photos and videos and things like that. The only downside to it is if you look at, let's see, if you look at the photos, like this is just a USB hub. It's going to block ports if you're charging with like a USB hub, just because of how big it is. That's the only downside to it. Everything else is great about this little thing. So I'm really glad that I got this to review, because I was like, my iPhone was getting pretty full. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to pull everything off and it's going to take me like an hour. Like just doing it like 100 files at a time and then trying to organize it. And this just makes life easier. So I'm really glad I got this to review. But again, if you're an iPhone user on Windows and you want an easy way to back things up, this is definitely the way to go. So check out my review. Really, really product that I'm going to continue to use after the review. So really happy that I got that into review.
Well, it's like handy too, if you travel, bring it with you. Like at the end of the day, just plug that thing in. Yep. And like you said, leave it, you know, overnight or whatever. And it's just going to do it. You don't have to even think about it.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, it is a USB 3.2 Gen 1 drive, I think. So it's fast too. It's not like it's super slow either. So like, you know, if you have a day of if you're traveling, you know, it's going to take like 5 minutes to back up. Like it's not going to take a long time to back that stuff up. That's so cool. So yeah, that moves us to Case Mod Friday, of course, is where we feature a build or mod in the community. And this week we have a Asus ProArt themed build, and it's pretty simple. It's not even like it's not so much a mod. It's just a clean build.
A good build. Yeah.
So this is from Mr. Matt Lee, and it just, and even the AIO is not even like a ProArt AIO, but it just goes together. Like the colors, everything just goes together so well in this. And it's just super clean. Asus case. I can see you having a build like this.
Yeah. I was looking at some parts yesterday and like trying to figure out what fans I want to go with. And part of it was inspired by this build. I was like, okay, maybe I want to get like, you know, just thinking of certain things, but yeah, I like the look of this. Yeah, the gold looks good. I like the gold. The only thing that bugged me about this, and you were just on the picture. What do you think? Go to the front picture, the one you were just. Nope, other way.
This way.
What do you think bugs me there?
Two different fans.
Yeah, because the top one's the power supply. Yeah, so that's the only thing that really bugged me. I was like, "What is this?" And then I realized, oh, the top one's a power supply. So okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I said, I love clean builds. And again, there's like no real modding to this per se. You know, there's no water cooling. I mean, the CPU is technically water cooled, but it's an AIO.
What about the gold on the side of the fans? That I thought that might be, they had to do something custom for that maybe.
Possibly, yeah.
And especially like that back fan has the gold ring, because it doesn't look like it's illuminated. It just looks like it's a gold material.
You see that right there? Might be some little bit of illumination.
Kind of feel like that's lighting coming up from behind.
Yeah, that's true. Unclear. Mr. Matt Lee, you have to tell us. It's very unclear, but I like this. I guess we could watch a video and see.
Yeah, maybe it shows in there. Yeah, fans are those GDL. It says GDL, so maybe they're like a gold version.
I mean, if you watch it, it's definitely not lit up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Make this a bit bigger. But yeah, I mean, look how clean it is. It's just clean.
Have you watched this guy's videos before?
No, I haven't.
He's they're good. Like his builds are great. Like I discovered this guy, I don't know, 6 months ago or something. Yeah. His videos are pretty cool.
Oh, wait, I didn't even get to see the back of it. Okay. Does he organize all this?
I don't know.
No, I'm not like,
bad.
Yeah, but you're not going to see that anyways. But yeah, no, I know we featured these, but I haven't watched a whole lot of builders, like their videos.
And he always does smoke with them a lot of times. Like he'll have.
Yeah.
Well, but look at the fans there. See, they're not like, they didn't have the gold on the edges. It didn't look like.
Maybe it's just a reflection. They're there.
I'm gonna have to watch the video.
That's definitely a look at it. Oh wait, yeah, that's definitely a ring.
Like a ring. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we got it. It's a ring. But yeah, shout out to Mr. Matt Lee. We featured a handful of his builds before. I just love how clean this is. Like, it's just absolutely like just super clean. And just everything goes together so well. That's the thing I like about it. And it's not that big. I like a small, little, powerful build. And that's what this is.
Okay. Too. The fans are, yeah, I found them. It's a gold ring, and that model of fan is just a black and gold fan.
Okay. Okay. So you put the gold ring. So that, like I said, just that's the little bit of modding in this. Yeah, but I like
the fan comes like that with
okay.
the gold ring.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. No, I like this. It's like I said, yeah, super cool. Clean. So shout out to him. Yeah, I could see this could be your next build over here.
Yeah, I got some ideas.
Yeah, so you've been saying that for a while, and we're waiting
I'm waiting for like just the perfect case.
I don't think it exists for you. No. So yeah, so we'll move on to news, and it's not looking good, guys.
You got to start off negative.
We've been saying this for a while, but it's just not looking good when it comes to a lot of things. We'll start with GPUs. So NVIDIA had this pricing program, open price mm-hmm. program. So the whole idea, if you guys remember launches of the 50 series, there was always an MSRP model. Like every brand had an MSRP model. The whole idea was so that the brand could stay within the MSRP of the card, because if we've talked about this at length, but the NVIDIA MSRP was sort of like a myth, unless you were getting the Founders Edition card, you know what I mean? So there was this open pricing program that allowed AIBs to come out with a card that was at MSRP where they could still make some money on the card. It looks like that program has been scrapped. So MSRP models might be a thing of the past. Yep.
Yeah, it sucks. Maybe, right? Maybe companies will, I don't know, take advantage of some of the like trying to beat each other out on having the lowest price point or a low price point.
Every brand I talk to
is like, yeah, we're gonna.
In the past, when this whole thing, their sentiment was they were very mad at NVIDIA for the MSRP because the MSRP
was so low that
was so to make any money. Yeah. They couldn't even make any money. They were making no money on the cards, right?
Yep.
And their business. And again, NVIDIA can sell the Founders Edition because NVIDIA is not dealing with any of the RMA. Best Buy does, right? They're not dealing with any of, they're not distributing that to, it only goes to Best Buy. So they're not distributing that across multiple channels too. So they like, there's just so much where again, the AIBs were not happy with the MSRPs, especially in the later models that came out of the 50 series. Like they were just not, they're not happy about it. And yeah, so I don't, for the MSRP models, I don't see brands competing to see who's the lowest. I just don't. Could we not see any more like an Asus Prime? Like that's the MSRP model, right? Or like the Gigabyte Dual. I don't know what the Gigabyte MSRP one is, but like next, you know, RTX 60 series, maybe we don't see those cards anymore. Maybe we only see three SKUs, right? Instead of like five or six SKUs.
Or you do, and they're just higher priced, right?
Yeah. And that's gonna rage bait a lot of people on, yeah, you know, just because like, oh, NVIDIA says the MSRP is this, but you know, Asus, why are you selling your Prime card for $100 over MSRP or whatever?
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe for the 60 series, NVIDIA will do something different, right? Maybe this is just because the 50 series is
leading up to that,
you know, we're getting to the end. Maybe that's why they scrapped this program. There'll be a new program that comes out for AIB so they can offer a card at MSRP, but not good news. But we'll see what happens. I would hope NVIDIA would do something. Talking about GPUs and current GPUs and there being a shortage of GPUs coming, or there already is. Zotac from their Korea retailer put out this statement basically saying that their GPU supply is going to be reduced because, you know, of the RAM shortage. I mean, this is the brand saying it, right? So, I mean, we talked about this last week, but I think there's just going to be certain models that are just going to be scarce. Like, you're just not going to be able to get them anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them to make them, and so they're not.
Yeah, and I think a lot of brands are being quiet about it, but I think certain brands or certain, I mean, maybe this guy shouldn't have said this, right? Or made this statement, but I think you're going to see just this certain SKUs not be available. And I think this is just the start of it, which is kind of sad. But yeah, moving over to DDR4, we talked about DDR4 was on the rise. And the prices have been on the rise for DDR4. We have a graph showing you this. So DDR4 prices have seen up to a 300% increase. Here's the graph. I mean,
ugh.
Yeah. That's just...
I mean, yeah. A 32 gig kit.
Yeah. And it's DDR4. This is not DDR5. It's DDR4.
Yep. Yeah, that's even more. I feel like that's even worse. No, and then it's DDR4.
Yeah. I mean, it was in February of 2025.
Yeah,
it was what, $45?
Probably like maybe 50. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess based on the graph, like $50, and it went up to $262. That's crazy. And that's the thing that sucks. It's like you think, okay, DDR5 is in such high demand, right?
Yep.
That, you know, people will be building older systems. They'll find some deals, and I think that's still viable. You know. Maybe if you're buying used, I guess, but even if you're buying used, somebody who's selling something used is going to go on.
They're going to be able to get a premium for it.
Yeah. They're going to still get, man, it just, this whole thing sucks.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, DDR4 on the rise again. And look at that, dude. So this is from one of our reviews. Dude, I love this kit. This
Viper really?
Kit. Yeah. You don't like the red and the black? No, I like this heat spreader. Okay. And it like the black PCB, they had it all going on.
It reminds me of a gun, though. I mean, I that's what it's supposed to be, isn't it?
No.
I mean, that totally looks like a gun.
It was just the way I placed
like the slide on the top, and you've got like where the casing comes out. To me, that looks like a...
This is like, if you guys have ever seen our memory reviews, this is how I place a lot of the memory for like...
No, I'm not saying the two pieces, the one piece.
Oh, like, okay, now I see it. Now I see it. You could be right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right
here. You've got like your sights at the front. And,
yeah. Actually, you're probably right. Anyway, yeah. In any case, I like this kit. I don't know why you're a hater on the red and the black, but so we've seen memory, we've seen graphics cards get hit with all of this. This now next story. Intel to shift PC production to server CPUs because there's a possible wafer shortage now.
Wonderful.
And obviously.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Just like, again, like, okay, so we've talked about this. Like, RAM companies are prioritizing AI because they're just buying, like, there's more money there, right?
Yeah.
GPU companies are, again, for AI because there's more money there. We've seen that from NVIDIA well before there was a shortage. Like they're a lot more of their money is going into the AI. CPUs, it's going to be the same thing. It's like more money, you know, because all of these AI farms, like they're not using desktop CPUs. They're using Xeon and different, you know, higher end processors. So now you're going to see that prioritized, which means there's going to be less supply of CPUs.
We are so just,
the hits just we are cooked, bro. Yeah.
I mean, just the scale of all of this AI build out, that it's so much that it can impact the industry this much across multiple, like, you know, silos of CPU and memory and GPU.
Storage. Is
wild. Right.
Storage.
Spinning disk storage.
It is just not.
Like, when's the last time you could think of a technology that, like, outside of crypto,
crypto
was only GPU for a while, but
this is like, and again, we weren't alive during that time, but like World War II happened, right? And all of the manufacturing that we hear in the United States, like all of the car factories turned into building things for the war, whatever it was. Sure. It didn't even have to be like weapons, but whatever it was for the war, all of the plants, everything here in the United States turned to building things for the war. And like they say, not that like this is the same thing, but like this is a arms race for AI. I mean, if you look into it, we're building all these data centers. We're doing it. We're bringing manufacturing of these chips and everything over here. And all of these companies, I mean, obviously it's a money play too, because they're going to get more money for these parts, right? Than what they're going to get from the consumer. But at the same time, it's all ramping up, and to me, that's what it feels like. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but like, that's kind of how I feel like that's what this is.
Yeah, no, it's similar. I don't know that I'd heard that comparison yet. But that's very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that we like had a reason to do it. Right.
Right.
I mean, like,
the reason now is money.
Well, the reason now is money and like,
and potential military, you know, there's
a
military aspect to it.
Yeah, but there is that aspect, and we want to be, I would assume, you know, based on all the money that's going into it, that the United States wants to be ahead of, say, like China and other countries when it comes to AI. But yeah, like, it just seems like the same type of thing where like industry changes and all of it's going into this AI, right?
Yep.
That's how I see it. I don't know. But pretty interesting. So on CPUs now, we could be cooked. We haven't seen the data hasn't shown that we're seeing increases in CPUs on the desktop side, on the consumer desktop side yet. So we'll keep a track on that, and we'll let you guys know if things we see shortages, we see any of that. But that's the first sign of it, which is not good. Talk about CPUs though, the Ryzen 7 9850 X3D, the reviews came out today. So we didn't review one, but I would suggest if you're looking, go check out the reviews. I know our friends over at eTechnics have a review. Of course, like Tech Power Up has a review. Check those out. But one thing that was cool that I saw, and I really hope this is because of the shortage, we're seeing this type of thing, but this is from what I know, this is only in China, but hopefully I like this type of stuff. We've seen it with some motherboards and some like super high-end motherboards come with the whole bundle. But this bundle, this is a Ryzen 7 9850 X3D that comes with DDR5 and a CPU cooler.
Well, that's cool.
I like this. And I know that like Micro Center does a bundle or whatever, but this one is like a collab between Cooler Master, AMD, and vColor together. I don't know how much this saves you or whatever, but like, again, if there's a shortage of DDR5, this bundle guarantees that you're getting DDR5 for your new Ryzen processor, and that Hyper 612 Apex Pro, that's from Cooler Master. That is a really good CPU cooler as well. And it's pretty cool because it's single tower, but dual fan. You don't see that as much these days. So,
yeah, these like bundle packages are nice. I think, yeah, something that maybe you'll see, maybe not something like this because it's all packaged and like pre-selected, but it'd be cool if some of these places, and they might, you know, do like build a bundle type of thing. Like, here's 5 motherboards to choose from. Here's the processors you can choose from. And here's like 5 or 10 memory kits you can choose from. So as long as you like stay in that ecosphere, you can maybe get a either like guaranteed or a better price on
I know Micro Center's been like, in the United States, Micro Center has been really good when there is like a high ticket item or a shortage of certain things. They put together some really good bundles on their website that are quite good. I think Newegg has done that as well. But I, like I said, I'm a huge fan of things like this. And I'm a huge fan of things like this, not only for possible price savings, but like making it easier for the first time builder, right? Like, you know, these three parts are going to work together, right? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just like, you know, they're going to work together. You don't have to do any research. You just buy this one thing and then you're like, okay, I have to pick up an AM5 motherboard, you know, graphics card, power supply, and some storage, you know, but like, I like that simplicity of it. Will we see something like this in the US? Don't know. But I, like I said, I'm a fan of things like this. I just really am. And maybe this is where we're headed with stuff. Just make it easier. You know what I mean? We'll see. So pretty cool to see that from those three companies there. So that GPU that you hated, the 30th anniversary ROG graphics card, the red one that has the big ball thing at the end. Yep. Yeah. It did have a really cool feature. It had the anti-sag feature where like you could go in GPU tweak and you can see if your GPU is sagging. I thought that was super cool. Apparently that's available on Astro cards. So they did an update to GPU tweak, and I have an Astral sitting here. I should probably test it. That the level sense is now available on Astral cards, which makes me like, is the sensor there? Like in the cards? What do you mean?
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought this level sense thing was like a specific feature for that card because the card had the.
Well, and why wouldn't they? Yeah, like it's weird that they wouldn't advertise that as a feature with the Astral.
Maybe
I mean, the Astral's a heavy card.
Maybe the software wasn't ready yet.
That could be.
And maybe they needed something for that 30th anniversary card to be like, this is part of the pack. You know, this is the cool thing. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of. But yeah, it's so now if you download the latest version of GPU Tweak and you have an Astral card, you should be able to use Level Sense to see if you're sagging. I would hope I have one on my Astral card. I would hope you're using a GPU support of some kind on an Astral card because they're huge and you want some type of support. Like that's the whole reason I upgraded to this case, because this case has a built-in GPU support bracket. So yeah, if you're running an Astral, just make sure that you have a support bracket. I would highly recommend it. The card's massive and it's heavy, very, very heavy. Now, this is a cool story. Yeah, you go to a thrift store. I haven't been to a thrift store in forever. When's the last time you were at a thrift store? You go to thrift stores a lot.
I go all the time, yeah.
Yeah. Have you, like, thrift stores by you, do you see, like, PC hardware?
Well, I should say, I don't really go to, I go more to antique malls. I haven't been to a thrift store in a while. But no, like, no. You'll see, like, in a cabinet, they'll have, like, some old, like, handhelds, maybe, like, some Game Boy Advances or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But no, you never see them like, or if you do see PC hardware, it's like just dirty keyboards and mice.
Yeah, like old PS2. Kids listen to this podcast don't even know what PS2 connector PS2 is. Mouth,
yeah, or like an old like HP bubble jet or you know, those old desk jet printers or.
Yeah, like that's, I'm going to have, there's a Goodwill by me that I actually donate clothes to. So
WRT54G routers. And
yeah, I should go in there and see if there's an actual like electronics section and see what's in there. But this is a really cool story. So
maybe you'll find one of these.
So somebody found a RX 5700 XT for $5. It's a ASRock Phantom Gaming model.
$4. Somebody's mom cleaned out their room. Or yeah. Something, you know, like how's that happen?
Yeah, I can see like, yeah, in the box.
How does it get priced at $5?
That too, they probably don't test. They can't like test them. They don't have like a PC there to test it. You know, and somebody just turns this in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, great. This is very cool.
Here's the thing. So you see this in the store. It's $5, right?
Yeah.
You don't know if it works. Like,
do you I'm buying it.
Yeah, $5. Yeah, for $5, I'm buying it.
Even if it doesn't work, you can throw it on eBay for parts and get $100 out of it.
Yeah, right? Or just like you could do something fun with it. Like you could even display it. Like there's some like for $5, you're going for it. Yeah,
100%.
it's like these are very elusive in the thrift store, and then the Best Buy open box GPUs that we've done a couple stories on that are like well below MSRPs, those are very hard to find as well.
I've also seen Walmart like hidden clearance.
Oh yeah, the Walmart hidden clearance is the one too.
People get the crazy deals out of there.
Yeah. But this is probably the best one for the price. It's like you had like it'd be like me if I like was just I need to get rid of my GPUs like I have here for back testing.
And you just like dropped off a box at Goodwill.
Yeah. I think the Goodwill people would like if I worked there, I'd be like, yeah, I'm taking this.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah. So pretty interesting, pretty cool stuff. And we have the link to the Reddit post if you want to check that out and read up on it. So was it how long ago was it? I think it was 2023 CES.
No, I feel like it was 24.
Okay. Well, at CES, Lenovo showed us their ThinkBooks, and they had this little expansion thing that's on the top, and I have a picture of it in the article from when we were at CES. There, look, there's Ryan's.
There's my badge.
Yeah, so they have this little, it's like a Pogo style connection that allowed you to add some things. There was like a monitor, there was
camera,
webcams. One was an SSD. Like it just magnetically just went on there, and you could use it. And I was a huge fan, especially the monitor one. I love. The problem is that Lenovo only had like a handful of these accessories. There was like, again, like the webcam, I think they had a light, there's like a webcam, a light, the monitor, and maybe the SSD, and that was it. There's nothing else, right? And we didn't really hear much of it, and like newer ThinkBook, like only certain ThinkBooks had it. And like, so it appears that Lenovo is expanding this Magic Bay accessory system and opening it up to third parties, which I think that's the ideal thing, right? There's so many third party companies that make really good accessories for laptops, but like, they can't
get to make a real nice webcam or something, or not Lenovo, Logitech or an Elgato.
Or like some type of weird Stream Deck thing you could put in there, like whatever. You know what I mean? There's so many different things, but now that it's open, any company could make whatever they want for it, right? Which I think is cool, which I think you would think that would make this thing, which I think is super cool, a lot more popular, right? Because it opens it up for more things. Because again, like how cool is having like a connection like that and you just like place whatever you want that you're using at the time right on there, right? And again, that like 10 inch additional screen was like perfect for me, like for like just like being productive or like being on the plane and like doing some work, like being really productive that way.
Well, we've seen so many of those like accessory monitor panels, like Corsair or Elgato just came out with one, you know, that's kind of like wide and short. Like I could see like one that goes the full width but is like just a real not very high, but just like the productivity value add, I think is great there.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
If you could figure out a way, I don't know if you could do power or not, if you could add like a battery pack to it, you know, that like slaps on the back of the monitor. Well, that one right there. Yeah.
That looks like
what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty interesting. So we'll see how this goes. And hopefully we see some really cool accessories. Cause I think like this, like the ThinkBook is their work beyond the ThinkPad, which is like their professional work. This is like their everyday work line. So having these accessories and more availability of different accessories, I think is a good thing. So we'll see, hopefully we'll see some cool accessories come out for that. Now I love stories like this. It's like, this is so cool. So somebody modded a PS4 Slim into their own gaming handheld. Has an OLED display, PlayStation 4 Slim gaming handheld that they made. How cool is that?
that's kind of neat.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of thick, but
But it's a PlayStation
a 4. It's still handheld. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the size of what was that? Not the Neo Geo. What was that big handheld?
I don't know. Like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Jaguar was still a console.
You might have been the Neo Geo thing.
Geo Pocket or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It has a 7-inch 1080p OLED screen. Has a full size HDMI on it. But yeah, it's just super cool. I like stuff like this. Just like, you know.
Yep.
Doing something
like Game Gear size type of thing.
Yeah. But just seeing
Does it have a battery in it too? 3 hours of battery.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. 3 hours of battery life. 3D printed enclosure. Super, super cool.
I still got my PS3. Maybe I should try and figure out. No.
Yeah. But yeah, super cool. Really, really cool to see that. So again, we have the link to the Reddit post all about this if you want to learn more about that one. But again, I think that one is super cool. Oh, you know what? We missed a story. I didn't realize that I skipped story on the, we'll wait till the end, cause we'll talk about the stuff at the end for that. Remind me when we get to the end. So Google apparently is working on a new OS called aluminum, however you say it. OS, it is Android desktop style OS. There's some videos out of the leaked OS. You know, there is Chrome OS, right?
Yep.
Which runs on Chromebooks. I think this is going to be for like the big foldables to have. So when you fold it down, it's going to be like a phone, but when you fold it out, you can be productive on it. That's the whole thing, right? That's why you want a device like that.
I mean, I'm thinking this is a great option for all these devices. Unfortunately, people have gotten rid of them, but all these devices that couldn't support a Windows 11 upgrade.
Yeah.
And now you've got a use for all that hardware that's perfectly capable. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad timing, but
this merges elements of Android and Chrome OS.
I have a laptop running that Chrome OS and it's fine. Like it takes some real getting used to, like just being reliant on the cloud. And what you can and can't do, you're like, I have to think about things differently. But my kids, you know, they use Chromebooks for school, and even when I've tried to like help them on them, I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Like, I think that both Apple and Google have made strides of making, like, even with Apple, you can connect your iPhone now to like a big screen and sort of be a little bit productive on it. The way that you can move stuff around, and they really made iPad OS very productive these days. You can have like multiple windows, like you can do a lot more than what you used to be able to do. And we're coming to that point. Have you seen that like quad fold Huawei phone from China? Have you seen that thing?
Yeah.
Like it folds out into like a 10-inch tablet.
It's big. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. So it's like, we're coming there, and like Apple will eventually come out with a foldable. What is the biggest foldable? Isn't the Samsung
Google, a Pixel?
Yeah, but there's like a Samsung one that's a trifold. It makes a pretty big tablet, right? And probably, like again, you have this phone, and then you pull it out into the tablet mode, and maybe you have a little Bluetooth keyboard or something,
right? Some sort of dock to.
And then you want to be productive on this. And again, the higher end phones, they have really good processors in them. It's not like they're like these weak little things. So everybody wants one device, not a phone or a tablet, or a phone and a laptop. Maybe they just want the phone. And I think we are getting closer to that point, especially with AI doing a lot of the work, heavy work in the background of a lot of these OSs too. So yeah, I like it. And again, cool. it's only gonna push Apple to do more in that space too. So if you're like me, like an iPhone user, hopefully we see more on that side too. So pretty cool. We have the videos if you want to check them out. You know, just gives you a little look at what this OS is. So yeah, I like, we're going to get there, dude. We're going to get to, like, again, like a quad fold, like, again, like, it's, we're in China, like the Huawei quad fold that pulls out, it's like a 10 inch or 12 inch laptop. Have you, like, that thing is super cool.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, I didn't really get to see like how thick it is in your pocket though.
When it's all, yeah, all folded together,
folded up. And again, the glass technology has gotten really, really good where you, like, you don't really see the fold. You know what I mean? Like,
right, when it's the waviness that you used to.
Yeah, that you used to. So pretty, like I said, pretty interesting stuff. We'll see. Man, phones are so, like, I know we don't review phones or talk about phones a lot, but like phone tech is so cool to me. Like, it's just super cool. Like, compared to, you know, where Ryan and I are old. So like, you know, what we used to have to now, like, we essentially, you know, have this big computer that is super small and all the stuff that's coming out. So GTA 6, we haven't heard much about GTA 6, but the latest rumor is that it's going to be digital only at launch. So no physical launch, no CD. And I think they at least the rumor is that that's the combat leaks and stuff like that. Because if you're releasing this game,
yeah, you got to send it out.
You got to send it out to the Best Buys, to whoever's selling it. GameStop's still there, right?
Yeah. GameStop. Well, and you also have to ship it to like whoever's pressing your discs, right? That software's got to exist outside of your control for however long it takes to make your inventory.
That's how leaks happen, right? How leaks happen. That's how things like that. So it's going to be digital only. Which, I mean, do you think, we talked about this before, but do you think this is going to launch on across all?
I don't know, man.
Across all platforms at once, or is this going to be like, you console know, PlayStation? Only. Yeah, console first.
I don't know. That landscape is probably so much bigger, you know, than we maybe think sometimes. So I wouldn't be surprised if it does go.
But like with crossplay being so big these days and all of that, like, and I feel like if you're enabling crossplay and everybody's essentially playing on the same server, like, wouldn't it make
sense?
That's
true, because you'd have so much of a potentially have so much of a disadvantage coming in, you know, a year later or something, when, you know, you like step into the server all shiny and everybody else is like gritty and has all their gear.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with GTA 6. And again, it's, what was the latest timeline on? I forget the latest timeline.
November 19th.
Yeah, 2026, so... Here's a question. Since it was beginning of the year, do you think that's getting pushed back to 2027?
No. I think they've pushed it too many times.
And we'll see. We'll see. What I wonder if the odds are in like Polymarket, like if it's going to come out.
Yeah, money on this. Yeah.
Somebody bet a lot of money if it was going to come out in 2025, and they won a lot of money because they put a big bet on it. But yeah, so the story that we skipped. We were talking about DDR4 and the prices increasing. DDR5 has seemed to stabilize a little bit. So if we look at the price graphs, and these are of different kits, but you can see that it's kind of stabilizing a little bit. And maybe this is kind of where we're at, or we're going to stay at least for the current time being. You know, I mean, fuck, look at that graph, dude. Fuck.
That's not like over a year. That's like 3 months of time, yeah, 4 months.
Yeah. So, but it seems like we're semi-stabilizing. And that actually brings us to our question of the week, is that with specifically DDR5, is this just the new normal as far as pricing goes? Or say like 4 years, or, I mean, obviously prices are going to be different from 4 years ago of new tech, but like, are prices going to go down from this point?
I think so. I mean, we had real high prices for a while like we enjoyed low prices on RAM for a long time. And then we had, you know, there were some natural disasters and fabs had to shut down for a while and that made prices go up, but they came back down and RAM was very affordable, right? You just looking at this graph, it was, you know, quite affordable. And so I think we'll probably be in a similar spot.
Okay. I would hope cause like it makes you think of like, price of houses or price of rent, and you're like
right.
Once it's not gonna go down, it doesn't go down, right? And we have seen in the past prices of certain pieces of hardware go up. I remember Intel's high-end desktop, they raised the price by $1,000 essentially, and that was for like 2 years, and then they brought it back down because yep. I don't, you know, so it's one of those things where like you see this could even go to graphics cards like Nvidia sees, okay, well, we made this thing, you know, we even saw it over the past, was it since the 20 series, right? When the prices went up drastically for graphics cards. People are buying it at that price. It's the new normal. So we'll just keep on charging that price. That's what I'm kind of worried about.
Just it's sort of related, like some news in the car industry, like we have 3 Subarus, so I kind of follow some of those channels and stuff, but like the Subaru WRX, the 2026 model, they reduced the price on it, from the 2025, like by thousands of dollars, just due to market, you know, demand or lack thereof and not being able to sell stuff for a price that they were asking. So maybe we'll see something similar.
I would hope so. Yeah, because you wouldn't want this to be the new normal, right? Where like, again, if you look at this, like almost $1,000 for a, what is this? 64 gig kit of memory.
Yeah, no thanks.
So hopefully this is not the new normal. Now this may remain sort of the normal for the next year, just based on that. But you would hope this, you know, this graph goes up and we would hope it comes down, right? That's the hope. That's what I would hope happens for this. So we'll keep an eye on all that stuff, of course. Coming up next week, I have a really cool case, and this might be one of my favorite cases already of this year. It is the Height X50. Got to see this at CES, and I got to see it at Computex as well. The way this is designed and how everything makes sense so far, I haven't done my build in it yet, but this is a really nice case. So yeah, I have the white one. It comes in a bunch of cool colors too, like the green, the pink, the purple, the red. Like it comes in, and they have the new orange. They have an astral orange, which is like, if you think of like Half-Life orange, it's like that color. Uh-huh. Okay. So yeah, so
go back to the purple real quick. It has feet, and the red had like bars.
It's interesting. Didn't notice that. Does everyone have different ones? So the colored ones. Okay, so these three have different feet. Huh. Maybe it's just to make these ones like a little bit more playful, I guess.
Yeah,
interesting. I did not notice that. That is kind of interesting.
I think they both look good, the feet or the bar.
In these feet, like it just looks so good sitting there. Like this case looks so good. So definitely stay tuned for the review next week. I'm super excited to do my build in it, probably tomorrow actually.
Cool.
So yeah, definitely stay tuned for that. And that is essentially it. Anything else tech related you want to talk about?
I mean, I have, or maybe we can't talk about it.
We can't talk about
a review. Okay.
Yeah, I can't talk about it till what, next week. I bought Ryan a new case.
Yeah.
So we'll be redoing our AIO test system, just the case, because we were using a very old case in that system. So got right. What is it? The Lee and Lee something. V something.
I don't remember.
But yeah, so that's something new. I've been watching Fallout.
Yeah.
Still quite good show. So good. Like that.
We slowed down a bit on Stranger Things, but we're getting through it.
I just don't have the time to watch all those shows. You know what I mean?
I don't. Yeah. That's why I'm still behind on so many of these.
Yeah, like what I usually do is like I'll like make lunch and then I'll watch like 20 minutes, 30 minutes of like the, cause like the Fallout's like an hour. So like I'll watch like 20, 30 minutes of it and then like come back like at night at dinner and then finish it. How do you feel about these shows now releasing one a week instead of the whole season?
I never really had Netflix.
Oh, okay. When
streaming. So I was never used to like just binge watching something, right? Any shows that I have watched on a regular cadence, like Game of Thrones, for example, was one where it was like every week I'm like waiting for that.
And yeah.
The buildup's nice, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it is, you're kind of spoiled if you get the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
You know,
it's that everything now, like the attention span shortened, right? Of like, oh, I can watch it all now and then it's done and I got to go to the next thing. And you're like,
and it's kind of like, you remember like maybe like 5-7 years ago, but like, again, like, you remember, so like Game of Thrones, right? You remember, and this is probably like longer than 5 years ago, like the Red Wedding episode, right?
Oh yeah, and everybody's talking about it.
Everybody on social media was talking about it. Like that's what think doing episode by episode brings back, because that's what's the thing that week. And then it's not just like, you know, everybody's watching the whole thing.
I watched 5 and you're not at the same spot.
Yeah. So I kind of like that about it, but yeah, Fallout's good. If you're into Fallout, and it's always good to actually see good live action based on video game. That's actually good. Some of them have been really bad. There's a new Doom movie coming out or being filmed or Doom? Something.
Huh.
Yeah. A new Doom. Jason Momoa, I believe, is the
okay.
I'm pretty sure from what I saw. I don't know. I don't follow that stuff that much. But I always like to see it used to be a bigger deal. It's not as much anymore because a lot of shows and movies are based on video games these days.
Right, that used to be very rare.
Yeah. So it's still cool to see. Like,
oh yeah.
You know,
like Mortal Kombat was a real early one. You know, and
dude, that was one of the best. Like growing up, that was one of the best movies.
Yeah,
Mortal Kombat was it. That was
It was good.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that is essentially it for this week. We are going to be doing some gaming over on Twitch, twitch.tv/syncomputers. So head on over there if you want to continue to hang out with us. Of course, we appreciate everybody hanging out with us on the live stream, and of course, everybody that listens later. And we will see everybody next week.